7 minutes past six. It's Friday night. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day for Kia. You can step up into the new all-Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And of course, McDonald's are with us. The new crispy barbecue McOz and Aussie Angus burger have arrived at Macca's. Well, the Olympics are again in the headlines for the same reason as they were in 2020. All last year, up until the unforgettable backflip, we were told the Olympics were on. John Coates was definitive last year for most of it, despite the obvious evidence mounting as to why they were simply not going to take place. So again today, a virtual replay. The Times in England scoop said, it as loudly as anybody, they are definitely off. And yet the response from the politicians and administrators has been loud and clear. It's wrong, they are on. One of the strongest defenders of the Olympics to be held team is the AOC CEO, Matt Carroll, who's about to join us. Scoop, but firstly to you, how's the cold? It's all coming along nicely.
Hello, Jared. Happy Friday. I look and feel better than I sound, I think it's fair to say.
But Scoop, you're not looking hard enough if you think you look better than you sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not happy with
you
the
look. You need a good hard look at that moustache before you start spruiking.
Yeah, as my late father would have told me, you're about 3 weeks short of a good haircut.
Indeed. But let's move on. Matt Carroll is the CEO of the AOC. He joins us on the line amid strong speculation again that the Olympics were not to be held in July this year. Welcome to you, Matt. You've had to have the straight arm and the straight bat up today.
Yeah, no, look, good afternoon, guys. Look, it's strong expectation. It was a rumour out of a newspaper article. And as you would know that the Prime Minister of Japan stood up in the Japanese Parliament today and again reinforced. And Thomas Bach last night, the President of the IOC, that the games are on, are very different games. Absolutely agree on that. You know, it's not going to be the similar way we were seen in London and Rio and even in Sydney all those years ago now. Simpler, with a focus on athletes and their competitions.
Look, I understand it, and I think everybody is really keen for the Olympics to get underway. I think we all remember just how important AFL footy and rugby league were through the darkest of years that we've had for many a day. And I think that the Olympics would provide similar distraction and a reason to fly the flag. But it does appear to me, Matt, as if it's a bit like the Grand Prix. When you get up and say they're on, what we're saying is we hope they're on. And with a vaccine, they're more than likely to be on. But if you look at the graph of people that are dying and getting infected with the virus in Japan, it's certainly got to be still a question mark.
Well, I mean, look, yeah, there's no great certainties in anything in life. But what I am certain about is the Japanese government, Tokyo Metropolitan Government, the International Olympic Committee and the Organising Committee are very committed to it. And as I said, it will be a very different game. So the decisions around spectators, international spectators, they have yet to be made. And the athletes themselves, Australian athletes, we're working closely with our sports to prepare their camps prior to the games so that they'll be tested, they'll be COVID safe. When they arrive in Japan, the similar sort of test protocols will continue. They'll go to the village. Sadly, there will be not a interaction outside of the village, so therefore the competition venues and training venues, and so that only 5 days or 4 days, depending on your sport, you can arrive in the village, and then 48 hours after you finish your competition, you come home. So it's a very different games, and the IOC and the organising authorities are learning from events such as the Australian Open and other events around the world. And as you said, you saw how AFL and rugby league and sports did in Australia. Yes, it's the world's biggest event. Yes, it's a bit different, but we're all working hard to make it happen.
Matt, good evening to you. You called it a rumour in a newspaper. In all due respect, it was a quoted piece by The Times, probably the most renowned and sophisticated newspaper in the world, quoting a senior rules official saying that no one wants to be the first to say, but the consensus is that it's too difficult. You use the comparison of the AFL, the NRL, the Australian Open. You admitted that this is a bigger event, but this is not 1,000 people coming into hotel quarantine. This is more than 11,000 athletes plus support staff going into one city. I mean, it's pretty hard to be definitive that this thing's going to happen.
Well, it only can be definitive because the plans they've put in place. As I said, it's not 11,000 all at the same time. So they're taking the load off their servers, taking the load off the village. And going back to your question about the article, sure, it came out of reputable newspapers and so forth, and I'm not saying that anything else. But again, you had today the Prime Minister of Japan standing in their parliament confirming that the games are on. You know, the president of the International Olympic Committee, you know, with the support of the Japanese organising committee, that the games are on. And that's what we're working hard to. I mean, the last thing you want to do is give athletes uncertainty. So we're working hard to work with our sports so that the athletes have that certainty, the preparations for the games. And when they get there, they're going to be safe and secure. Yes, the vaccine is important, but the games have been designed around no vaccine. And now the vaccine is an additional fillip for the games.
If the vaccine is able to be given abundantly in Japan, do you see spectators being involved?
Well, that's a decision for the local organisers and the International Olympic Committee, and you know, whether international guests will be able to travel there. As I said, those decisions haven't been made. They don't have to be made now. They can be made closer to the event. So, you know, certainly about the local spectators. Yep.
It must be a real drain. I mean, a lot of these things are expensive. We know that, but when you don't have the income of tickets and tourists, etc., this must be costing an absolute fortune for the Japanese people. Is there any other way the IOC are helping them out to alleviate some of the costs?
Looks like we've lost Matt momentarily. We hope to get him back. Always happens when you least expect it, but. Yeah, we are talking about the Tokyo Games, which are scheduled to go ahead on July 23. And I think Matt is back on the line, Jared.
Indeed he is. Matt, just the financing and the funding.
Sorry, Jared.
That's all right. Without the spectators, and therefore I assume you'll take a hit to some degree, not the AOC, but the IOC for TV rights and the Japanese government, it must be costing an absolute fortune.
Well, it is, but there's an investment that's already been made, obviously, for staging the games, and the IOC has committed additional funds to the local organising committee. Mm. They've committed additional funds to the international federations to get them through, and also additional funds to the National Olympic Committees to assist us as well in assembling our team. So the IOC has been absolutely fantastic at committing, you know, and I'm talking in the billions of dollars, US dollars, to making the games happen. Look, in terms of broadcast, the games will still be broadcast. You know, it may be the biggest live event, you know, in the history of the planet, so to speak. So
will the rights be renegotiated, though?
Well, that's you know, outside my space. That's entirely up to the International Olympic Committee how they manage their rights. But certainly in terms of the media, the broadcast arrangements, those things are all in train. And you know, the same as you've seen in other events around the world. I mean, they're still broadcast. You know, the Premier football out of the UK is still broadcast.
Yep. Just on the funding elements, the Tennis Australia used to be a sponsored event. The naming rights were sponsored. I think it was Paul McNamee that led the charge to take it away. And whilst they're still sponsors, they don't have the naming rights. Have you ever gone down the track of having a naming rights sponsor for the Olympic team?
No, not at all. And as you would note from the Olympic Games themselves, there's no advertising around the fences or anything of that within any of the game venues. And we have fantastic partners who are supporting us, and they've stuck with us over the period of the pandemic. And, you know, we're working very closely, obviously, to get the Australian team there with one of our great partners, Qantas, who have been with us since 1948.
Yeah, they've been great supporters. I wonder if the finances of the pandemic continue to destroy the finances of professional sports, of which many are Olympic sports, whether that would change.
Look, all our sports are working closely with us. I'm not sure if the finance have been totally destroyed, because the sports have been very sensible about the way they managed their way through the pandemic. Most of our sports aren't large professional codes in our country.
Yep.
You know, with the support of the government and ourselves, they've managed their way through.
Matt, we've had, Jared and I have had a couple of potential Olympic athletes on this program in the last 12 months. I think before the 2020 games were called off, and the anxiety was pretty clear. What's it like a year on? I mean, I know you're saying it's going to go ahead, and we all hope and pray that it does, but your feedback from athletes at the moment?
Well, look, and again, we got a note out straight away to our athletes when the rumours came out of the media from other parts of the world, and they appreciate that. Got it straight to our sponsors and our sports and everyone else as well. And you're right, look, that was the disappointing thing about this. It's unnecessary anxiety. But what our message to the athletes is that the process is in place, the systems are in place, we're going to get you assembled in Australia, COVID-free, get you to Japan, give you every opportunity to succeed. Some will win medals, some will just do the best they can possibly do in their personal best and bring back and celebrate their achievements safely as well. So that's my job. We're going to get 1,000 Australians, 500 athletes thereabouts and their support team to Japan and back again and make it a great success.
Exactly, you are. But to do that, you've got to get a team assembled. And the qualification process is always onerous, but it must be even more difficult in this era. Is there any more flexibility in and around it with people given more times, more opportunities to make a qualifying time, etc.?
Absolutely. The international federations have modified their criteria, dominate, or not the selection criteria, or qualification criteria, beg your pardon, so that, you know, if events can't be held, they come up with a different way of allowing athletes to qualify. The main thing is to provide as much best as possible a level playing field, so the athletes are competent, they can qualify. A couple of international federations modify the rules again today because for all the reasons that you just mentioned. And the cooperation between the International Olympic Committee and all the international federations has been excellent.
Matt, great to have you on board. And it's great that you are so definitive, because there would have been plenty of uncertainty in and around the athletes. But at this stage, we are on the team of It Will Go On. Thanks for your time.
Absolute pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Carroll, AOC CEO, flying the flag once again. Strong. And it would have to be something extraordinary for it not to go ahead now, what you would think, Scoop. But they have got
a bit
of a...
Is that what you think?
Oh, I think so. I mean,
because you were strong on this the other way last year.
Right now, the Japanese Prime Minister has got up, and he's got up at a time where the graph of lives getting lost and infection rates, it's a bit like your favourite lithium stock right now.
That's right. That's 5,500 cases today.
And the Japanese Prime Minister did that knowing the environment he's in at the present time. I still suspect that the decision is made with a view to the vaccine taking the heat out of it. But who knows where that's going to sit. It may actually
create
an even
bigger...
So you'd have it at
70-30 going ahead? Or higher?
Probably. I think that's about right. 70-30. That's a good number from you, Scoop. That's today's APCO Hot Topic. Follow fellow Australians. Choose the red and the blue, for APCO. APCO Service Stations is where you'll find it all.
When are we going to talk about Margaret Court?
You can do that straight after this. Look for the trusted Australian-made logo to be sure. It's authentically Australian, like Margaret Court is. Australian-made, that is, Scoop. And Darcy Vescio also to join us straight
Looking
after this.
To it.
After Scoop gives Margaret Court a nice old smash. Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia. You can step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy. Darcy Vescio, Carlton's AFLW star, not far away. She's going to join us, and the season is not far away. Collingwood and Carlton go head-to-head in the season opener next Thursday.
Next Thursday, that's coming around.
It's not far away, Scoop. Yeah. And right now, I think we have got a big hole in the sporting calendar. And
we do.
That is always going to be worth having a look at. Looking forward to talking to Darcy Vescio. But today, it was the usual Margaret Court stink at this time of the year. Normally, it's just about whether the naming rights of Margaret Court Arena should still be there, or whether the cancel culture people want to rip it down. But there's a new element to this, Scoop, and you'd like to address it.
Well, Justin Smith today broke the story that Margaret Court is going to be honoured with an Australia Day honour, which I, for one, can't understand. I think I'm in the same boat as a lot of people. We're not going to speak on behalf of other people, and this is not meant to have a go at Margaret Court. I've done that plenty of times before. I don't need to do it again. But the federal government continues to shoot itself in the foot in the last 10 days. We've had the acting Prime Minister say that all lives matter. We've then had Scott Morrison, our current Prime Minister, say what he said yesterday against Cricket Australia. And today we find out that Margaret Court, who is already an officer of the Order of Australia, she's already been I think, honoured for her tennis prowess. Why on earth is someone with her views being given an Australia Day honour? It clearly can't be for tennis, because that would have happened years ago.
No, what's for tennis? I mean, they're recognising her tennis achievements with the highest honour, Australia Day honour. So that's as simple as it is. She's not getting it for work done to the community or a religious work, from my reading of it.
But Jared,
it's just honouring the fact that she's the greatest tennis player, arguably, that we've ever had in this country. And the people who sat around the table and judged said, okay, this is a country that still values free speech. We probably don't necessarily agree with her views, but despite our probably strong disagreement with some of her strongest views, we still think we need to honour her with the highest honour, because she's the greatest tennis player we've had.
You didn't answer my question. Why didn't this happen years ago when we knew this? We knew. Why?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not on the selection panel.
No, well, I'm very...
Why do you think it happened now?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a political decision. I don't know if someone's trying to cause unrest.
It's an independent panel. I'm not sure who's on the panel, but it's the Australia Day Honours panel who have been picking Australia Day Honours for ordinary Australians for who knows how long.
The wording of the award is for an eminent achievement and merit of the highest degree in service to Australia or humanity at large. Can I just remind you, Jared, that this is the person that 3 years ago said that on LGBTI activists, it's all the devil. It's what Hitler did and it's what communism did.
I understand she's got very strong religious views. And
Not many people
would agree with them, but I think most people in this country still appreciate the value of free speech.
No, free speech only gets you to a point where you don't divide people and you don't discriminate. You don't get the right to discriminate with free speech.
Well, there's a lot of people, Scoop, would think that she's got strong religious views and she's entitled to those views and she's entitled to express them. Clearly, they're damaging to some people, and I understand the points you've got, but there's a lot of people in this country would support Margaret Court being recognised. And I point you to sort of responses to articles. Most of them are fairly strongly in the Herald Sun in support of Margaret Court, and I'm sure some in The Age are strongly against. But it's a challenging scenario that they've got, and heaven help Craig Tyler. It's the last thing he needs is another stink with our most famous former tennis player.
I would agree with you on that, because Tennis Australia have to deal with this issue every single year. It's really not up to them, and they've got nothing to do with it. But whoever
Do you think she should have her name taken off the grandstand?
Absolutely.
You do?
Tomorrow.
You're kidding, aren't you? Darcy Vecchio, Carlton AFLW star, joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Darcy. An interesting time to have you on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
We actually wanted to talk to you about playing Collingwood next week. How are you going, and how's the team?
Very, very excited. I think back to a few months ago and we were all in lockdown and probably unsure whether, we'd get back to training, let alone be able to play. So, yeah, the girls are just really excited and the team's looking pretty good at the moment.
Even only, 2 months ago, it was in doubt. How have you gone with your pre-season, or have you just ignored the elements of uncertainty and just gone ahead as if it is going ahead?
Yeah, I tell you what, we've just reverted back to the footy cliche of just taking things 1 week at a time. Half's been really good in just trying to keep us in the moment, and because pretty much every day there are different changes around border restrictions, and you hear different whispers about things. So he's just tried to keep us really calm and focused on just training really well and making sure we're doing everything we can to get better at footy, because that's what we need to be doing. So, yeah, that's been the main focus for us, and it's been going well so far.
How are you dealing with border restrictions? I know they're opening up ever so slowly, but how does it look in the early parts of the season as far as playing the Sydney teams?
I know that GWS is currently in Adelaide, so I think that's enabled them to play they're going over to Fremantle to play first, and then they're playing West Coast in Adelaide as one of their home games. So it's sort of just affected that sort of WA border at the moment. But for us, I don't think we actually play any games in New South Wales or WA. So at the moment, we've been pretty selfish in just concentrating on round one, I guess.
Jared, you and I were talking about the Olympics a little earlier. And Chloe Dalton, who was in Rio when they won the Rugby Sevens.
Yep.
Now, she wanted to pursue 2020. We now think Darcy, well, we were told earlier this morning by the Times that the Olympics were off, and now they're back on. Could Chloe actually make a sort of a late dash to be part of the team in 2021? Has that been brought up?
Well, yeah, from what I've, I don't have a heap of conversations with the list manager, but I know that a few months ago that was sort of the idea that we could wait until the very last minute to make a call on whether we fill that 30th spot in our team or whether Chloe's able to come back in. So, I guess I don't really know exactly where that sits at the moment. I really hope that Chloe can pursue the Olympics because that's, you know, the highest sort of thing that you can do as an athlete. But, I think that's her main aim. So hopefully she can do that.
It's pretty incredible, pretty incredible. She's already a gold medalist at Rio.
She's clearly a very talented player across many fields.
Yeah, she's very greedy.
Very greedy. I'm glad we got to the bottom of it. Tell me about Ebony Marinoff. Should she be suspended or not? Because it looks a contentious case to me at best.
Yeah, I find it really hard to even form like a solid opinion on it. Like I watched the footage and I know that new footage has emerged, but it's just a terrible situation, to be honest. Like no one wants to do that to another player. And, everyone's thinking about Brid from GWS who's got a broken neck at the moment. But I honestly don't know. Like it's so hard to judge the situation without, having seen it from all those angles and I guess being there on the day would make a difference too.
Well, I've got to say, Ebony, Darcy, on the base of it, I would have thought Ebony had just walked straight out. So sometimes things happen and there was no malice, there was no carelessness, there was no negligence. How can you be suspended? But we'll leave that to those who are running the tribunal. Do you train for collisions like that when you are the person who's winning the ball? Do you train to turn the body, because she clearly didn't?
Yeah, I think, that's been discussed a bit. I know naturally, like, we get taught, like, don't put your head anywhere your butt can go. So you're always looking to put yourself in the least vulnerable position. I think growing up, I played Auskick and that was one of the first things you sort of learned, how to turn your body, how to make sure that you can take contact and not put yourself in danger. But in saying that too, like sometimes you do find yourself with your head over the footy and you sort of trust that people, will sort of brace
respect
around
that.
When you think about playing, there's so many little movements you do to ensure that you kind of protect even your opposition. Like you're going hard, but there's just these little things you do. I guess what's happened with Ebb and Brid is the most unfortunate thing that can happen. So, yeah, I just hope they're both doing okay, to be honest.
Can you just confirm this, that Daniel Harford said we're taking it one week at a time?
Oh, God.
I think he said, so his favourite phrase is subject to change. So he'll say whatever he wants and then he'll say
subject to change.
But as we know, girls, everything is subject to change.
I like it.
I think the IOC could use half.
Every coach needs an out. If you're going to be definitive, you always need an out. Good luck to you, Darcy, and let's hope you can go one better than the prelim final last year, albeit the fact that it was cold off and no one had a genuine chance to win it. But good luck. You're building, and it could be exciting times for the Blues.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your support, guys.
Good on you, Darcy. Darcy Vessio there, Carlton AFLW star. And their membership package for the AFLW star is just $50 for adults, $30 for juniors. It's great value, Jared. 1-300-227-586, or you can head to carltonfc.com.au.
I've got a feeling, Scoop, I'm just getting a sense that you're back on board the Blues bandwagon.
No.
After kicking them for last 2 years, albeit in a supporter's fashion, not a mean, nasty fashion.
We're talking about the men's team or the women's team?
Both.
I'm on board the women's team.
Are you? Yeah. Okay.
I think the men will miss the finals.
You will, do you?
Yep.
Oh, I think they might surprise.
Mm. You've been saying that for about 3 years.
No, I haven't. No, this is the year I'm going to back them in. This is Sports Day, and you can look for the trusted Australian-made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian-made. Darcy Vecchio was our special guest. It is now, though, time for the news after the break. Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia. You can step up into their all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy. Well, tonight signals the end of week one for Barbora Stritsova, who is the world number 38. She's also one of the greatest doubles players in the game as we speak. And she is our Australian Open Hotel quarantine correspondent. She joins us from inside the quarantine. Welcome, Barbora.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
And good evening to you again. We've had a debate in this town over the merits of our greatest player in Margaret Court. Have you got strong views on Margaret Court and whether or not the arena should still display her name and whether or not she should be acknowledged on Australia Day, Barbora?
I don't like to really comment on this, but I think they should keep her stadium how it is and keep her name on it. That's my opinion.
Is it discussed much amongst the playing fraternity?
Sorry?
Does it get discussed when you turn up in Australia?
I thought it last year it was discussing a lot, but not so much anymore. But I just don't want to get involved in this in these things because I don't like to go public in this. So you can tell, you can say your opinion like privately, but not on public. I guess.
Fair enough. Does your private opinion differ to your public one?
No, I just don't like to talk about these things in public.
But Barbora, you said last night you were a little bit flat. How are we feeling today? How's day eight been?
Well, I guess I was flat because I had many workouts, like I told you yesterday. But today it's been good because I had a day off, kind of, and I slept very long. And I had a great breakfast today. And I started watching Money Heist. So
good show.
Yeah, it is a great show, right?
Is this the first time in 8 days you've turned on Netflix?
I started 2 days ago. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, that'll be the end of the sleep. You'll be up all night.
I'm on the seventh episode, I guess.
And when you spoke to your boyfriend or your fiance, I should say, after you hung up the mask, did he lift your spirits a bit?
You are crazy. You are digging in it, right?
I'm digging in it, all right. What did you actually chat about?
Oh, Jerry.
Well, I told him that you asked me about his proposal.
Yes.
And then he was like, yeah, that's nice. But we were talking about his job, so.
Right.
Nothing really important that you need to know.
But, Barbora, I'm sure you heard about Paula Badosa's positive test. So on day seven or eight of quarantine, which is a little bit confusing for a lot of people, but there is that incubation period. What was your first reaction when you heard about the positive test?
It is very confusing as well for us because I kind of didn't understand how she could get the virus after such a long period of time because they told us the incubation is like 3 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I guess this is our seventh day, right? So I'm like a little bit worried because who can get it now or how come she got it, you know? So I don't know. This is just a little bit strange.
Do you talk to Paula through the season?
No. She's very, very, she's much younger than I am. Mm. So she's coming up and I don't know her that much yet. So I didn't talk to her so ever.
So how are you feeling when you say you have a day off? Does that mean you just do nothing? As in you don't have a stretch, you don't have a couple of push-ups, sit-ups, a couple of burpees, nothing?
Yeah. It is a strange situation because to have a day off in quarantine is kind of like a tough day for me, you know, and I'm also a person who doesn't like day off. So I try to, because they sent us yesterday, the Tennis Australia, like links where we can have like a 10 to 11 yoga class. Then we can have 12 to 1 fitness class. And today we had a spin class. So I did the yoga today and tomorrow I might do the fitness class. It's great. We just zoom in and then we have a teacher who is doing the fitness with us and it's nice. It's really good.
Do you think it's unfair that all the big guns, all the big knobs, they're over in Adelaide luxuriating and walking around freely to a large degree and about to get a few matches under their belt?
Yes, a little bit. I mean, I guess it is a little bit, but they are who they are, and they earn the spot. So I guess give them the privilege to have a little like a place like they have now. But maybe if you post everything on Instagram and this and that for us and the other players, it's kind of like why they have this, why they have more hours than us. You know, it's kind of like okay, have it, but don't
flaunt it.
Don't post it. I mean, just, you know what I mean?
No, that's fair enough. Now, Jared, can we get to the main
event?
No,
we can't. I've got a question for Barbora before we do.
Jared, you are really
I've got a
nice
little
guy.
Question for you, Barbora.
When you say nice, Barbora, I think you meant something else.
I was talking I was talking to John Fitzgerald. Now, you'd know Fitz. He used to be Davis Cup captain here and a great player in his own right. And Todd Woodbridge, and I told you this last night, they were blowing over who was the greatest tennis player
we're
of all
time.
Going
back to the winery.
Who? Yeah, we're going back to Stones, and we're going back to a couple of gin and tonics late. Who do you think is the greatest men's tennis player of all time?
Men's?
Yes, I'm getting to your mob in a shortly. Just let's tick it off. This was the argument, the men's game. Because right now you've got Roger with 20, you've got Roger and Rafa, and you've got the Joker about to go straight past them, and you've got Rod Laver way back when, and you've got Pete Sampras, etc. But who do you think is the greatest?
Laver.
That's a good answer.
Good,
I like that.
Solid, definitive answer. And the greatest women's player of all time, Barbora?
Steffi Graf for me.
Okay. And why Steffi and not Margaret Court or Serena?
Because Steffi has been always my idol, and I just admire Steffi, so I just said Steffi Graf.
Well, Barbora, I've put you on a no-eat diet from 12 o'clock till now. Tommy Ruff was supposed to have delivered by 6:30. I'm not sure what's happened, but bear in mind...
It's not here yet.
There will be a magnificent seafood platter and a magnificent bowl of seafood chowder. It will come, and we'll get your full report on Monday.
I will give you the full report tomorrow.
Enjoy the weekend, Barbora.
Thank you so much, you guys. Take care.
Barbora Strutsova about to indulge herself in the greatest fish and chips that this city
I actually
has
designed
seen.
The platter myself with John this afternoon.
Oh, that's why it's late.
A bloody dick on Uber is not produced.
On that note, we'll take a break.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. A lot of people have just texted me and rung through, Scoop, all wanting to know, how do I know the name of the Uber driver is Dick? Well, I just, you know, it's a common name. I just thought it might be.
His name is Richard, and you decided to shorten
it for him.
That's
fine.
Yeah. This week's Furphy unbelievable moment is, of course, the thrilling finish to the Test Series between Australia and India. It's the Furphy Crisp Lager. It's easy drinking. It's full strength. It's unbelievable.
It was an unbelievable moment, and it was made even better with Chetan joining us from Delhi to commentate through the final 40 minutes. That was an incredible moment. We'll get him on next week just to see how the aftermath was and the celebrations.
What are you doing tomorrow? Sort of Australia Day, Saturday weekend. Any particular plans?
No plans.
Couple of gin and tonics out the back?
No. On the non-drinking campfire at the present time. I'll be swimming tomorrow, and then it'll be a bit of gardening, a bit of weeding, and a little bit
I'm going down your way tomorrow morning for sunset. Take the dog down to the dog beach.
For sunset? That's where I'm swimming.
Okay.
Not at sunset, though.
Well, I might see you out there.
In fact, I saw three seals in the water. We're about 10 metres offshore today.
Really?
Yeah, amazing.
Unbelievable.
10 metres offshore.
Have a good weekend, folks.
Happy Australia Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Kia. You can step up into the new Kia Stonic SUV and for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that is Red Energy. We spoke all week to our new Sports Day quarantine correspondent. She just happens to be also the world number 38 in tennis, Barbora Strutsova, who's been keeping us up to date ahead of the Australian Open. Here's some of what she had to say throughout the week.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
It's great to have you on board, Barbora. Normally, we're just having a great old time here in Australia, but right now it's got a little bit messy. How have you seen it from inside quarantine, given that you were on a plane from Abu Dhabi, which now has all the attendants on that flight in isolation as a result of a positive case?
I mean, we got the news after a couple hours we land, so first thought and first feelings were like I was very frustrated and sad and kind of like... oh my God, what I'm going to do. But I slept over it and now I'm like taking it how it is and we can't do anything about it. The health and safety is the most important, not just for us, but for the Australian citizens. And yeah, I can't kind of complain because I have to go through it and we see how it goes after. But I have 10 days more to go. So. So far, so good.
Have you, and I'm not sure if you have read, but there's been a fair bit of negative feedback from normally supportive people of the Australian Open. How have you read it?
Well, like you mean the Australian citizens that they are complaining about that about us? Or
I think that's a fair point. I think it's a lot of supporters of the Australian Open don't believe it should be on. And now that
yeah,
we've
I know they are. A lot of, we have a lot of fans, a lot of supporters and a lot of lovers for tennis. And I mean, Australia loves tennis. But I also understand the people here in Victoria, not in, only in Victoria, but around the world, around Australia, that you had 5 months a lockdown
yep,
and you
indeed.
Couldn't go out. And
Ring of Steel.
I mean, yeah, so we have to think about it also from that point that we have to go through 2 weeks of lockdown and we are here to play tennis. I get it. We are athletes and we need to perform well. But this is this situation is completely different and it's just it's a pandemic around the world. So we have to follow the instructions what you give us and. Yeah, this is how I see it.
Barbora, listening and reading on social media from different players, I've heard varying reports about how much you were told before you got on the plane. Were you aware when you got on that if someone did indeed test positive from the plane, that you would have to do 14 days of hard lockdown without the 5 hours of being able to train?
Well, there were so many rules and so many changes, but this specific rule that there will be one person positive and we will be all locked down, we didn't talk about it. But I'm not complaining about that because it was not the decision of the Tennis Australia or somebody else. It was the decision of the health officers
yep.
that they decided if there will be one person in the plane infected, then all the whole plane will go. And this was decided a couple of days before we land here. So, I mean, like I said before, the safety and the health is really important. So I kind of understand.
Barbora, you've got a pretty level head on your shoulders and you are displaying and enunciating a pretty reasonable perspective, I suspect, or I'm hearing. And yet that's not the case from some who are complaining and they're whinging and they're sooking it up. What's your message to them?
Well, like I said already before, I was also complaining right hour after mm-hmm. I got the message, which is my emotions. It's normal. But the more we complain in social media, the more we are kind of, you know, not behaving. It's not a good message for people here. It's not a good message for the government and for the health officers, because if we will, I'm not saying if we will be quiet, but just follow the rules and maybe some things can change, you know, and it will also help the Tennis Australia.
Barbora, have you asked for any fitness equipment or have you got stuff with you already to stay fit?
I asked, well, I had mine, some bands and this and that, which I'm travel with, but I asked 2 days ago for a bike. I got the bike and I tried to ask yesterday for some dumbbells and some kettlebells, but I'm still waiting on it. It's not easy to be delivered for 70 players.
So, Jared, now we know who got Novak's bike. It went to Barbora instead of Novak.
Well, maybe. That, I mean, Novak is in Adelaide, so he doesn't need it there.
That's true.
He's got his own bike company, Novak.
Yeah.
Tell me, Barbora, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a runners-up and there's going to be people go out in the first round and people go out in the second round. A lot of it, I suspect, some of the smarter tennis players are going to see this as a huge opportunity to get one or two or three places or further down the draw than they normally would have simply because they take the positive attitude.
Well, that's what I'm trying to see it like that. I mean, also I have to say that being locked down in 2 weeks and playing right after tennis on such a high level, I don't think it's possible. But if you put yourself in a perspective that you will play good, it's going to be good, you can play in some level. So I don't want to go down on myself, but I will try my best and we will see. I will be so happy to just run on the court and being in Australia and free to move.
Oh, there'll be plenty of movement when the 2 weeks is up.
I know.
Can what do you say to those people in Australia, in Melbourne in particular, who think that it was silly of Dan Andrews to allow this to go ahead? And Dan Andrews is our premier, if you don't know.
I would like to say just that I appreciate being here, even though I am in a lockdown. I totally understand and respect that. But I know the Australians, and not just Australians, but people who love tennis can't wait to see us perform and can't wait to see us live perform. And we need you like fans, and we need to feel the energy and the atmosphere again live. So let's just go and make it happen.
We're listening and speaking to Barbora Strytsova, world number 38, who is currently, I think, on day four, she said, of hard lockdown on Sports Day. Barbora, take the inability to train out of it, because I'm sure every player is feeling that. What have you found the hardest thing of hard quarantine so far? Is it the food? Have you got a bed with
I love the food. Okay. Kind of. I really, except to just one, it was great. I really like the food. But for me, what's hard is that I can't open a window and we don't have a fresh air. So this is really, really tough. We can't open a door. So the air is missing. This is, for me, the toughest part.
Mm. Are you volleying against the wall? And is your person who's in the room next to you volleying against the wall?
No, I didn't volley yet. I am taking this part to a second week of the quarantine. So this time, the first week is just conditional training, and the second week is only tennis. Okay.
She knows what you need to peak late in the second week.
I like it.
Coming off a semi-final at Wimbledon.
Hotel peaking. Tell me, okay, Barbora, let's go through a day in quarantine. You get up at what time? The alarm goes, or just wake up naturally?
No. I still have jet lag. So I get up around, today it was like 6:30. So I'm taking very slowly.
Okay, so 6:30. What do you do first? Is it stretching? Is it exercise? Is it limbering up? Or is it eating?
Well, I don't have breakfast, so I just have my coffee. Yep. Then I have in an hour another coffee. Mm-hmm. Then I talk to my family because of the time zone. And then I sit on a bike, exercise around like 1 hour and a half.
How hard are you, cycling? How hard are you cycling?
It was hard today. I don't have the air here, so, you know, it's kind of like sweaty and you are finding your breath. It was hard. I have to say that I'm even tired. And then I'm taking a long lunch, then a little nap, and then I'm going to exercise again in a while after we finish our call.
Okie doke. So I'm about two-thirds of the way through Homeland on Netflix. What are you doing inside the room when you're not training?
Well, I am writing a diary. I am writing some notes and also reading. And that's it, I think. I didn't watch any movies, any Netflix. Weird, right?
Yeah, 4 days in quarantine and you haven't opened the Netflix app. That's extraordinary, Bubba.
No, right?
Are you on social media all day? What are you actually doing to entertain yourself?
Well, like I said, I talk to people, I talk to friends a lot, and it's like 2 hours talk, so it's, you have like 4 friends, so you can count, but I don't really, I'm not bored, I have to say I'm not.
Mm-hmm. But Barbara, how much, just...
am I weird?
No, you're not. We're loving having you on.
Are you married, or you got a boyfriend, or you got a partner, or...
I have a boyfriend. Yeah. I just talked to him before you guys, and he just woke up for his job. And so I'm talking to him as well. I'm talking to my mom.
Yeah.
And also I'm talking to my coach. So this is like 3 calls a day, morning, lunch, and dinner, what he's doing, how he was exercising, what he was doing. And this is it, kind of. And I'm reading a good book.
And this is the only media interview she's going to be doing for the next 4 weeks.
Now, Barbora, Jared. You've got a bit of time on your hands. Why don't you do a regular update with us right the way through the Australian Open?
I think so.
I will.
Would you do that? And if you do
let's do it.
I'll take you out for dinner As soon as you get out of quarantine, Tommy I'll Ruff's. Take you out to Tommy Ruff's
seafood.
And we'll have a nice old seafood
dinner. We have to do it.
Well, if you're prepared to do it and you're prepared to give us 5 minutes of your time on an update, a daily update on what you've done in quarantine, that's what we'll do.
Okay, deal.
Barbara, right. Great to have you on board. Let's hope there's a few of your colleagues bring as much enthusiasm and positivity, even after a slow start, to the event, because that's exactly what it needs right now. It's on a precipice. We don't need any more bad news, and we certainly don't need any sooking it up from the playing fraternity. So great stuff for flying the flag, and let's get going.
Yeah, let's get going. Thank you for having me, guys.
That was Barbora, and I think tonight she was getting involved in some Tommy Ruffs. Thanks to Jared. Anyway, we digress. You can download the new Betfair app and get better odds faster on summer sport. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858 is the number. This is Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. More right after this. Welcome back to the Friday edition, the best of edition of Sports Day for Kia. You can step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy. Earlier this week, we spoke with the great and recently retired cat Harry Taylor after he became officially an AFL Life member. This is our chat with Jared earlier in the week.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. It's good to be having a chat, boys.
So, you're back in Geraldton. Are you feeling the lure of the home turf, or are you just there seeing mum and dad ready to get back to the West Coast?
I'm going to spend a little bit of time over here, Jared. That's the sort of plan we've come up with. A bit closer to mum and dad and, other friends and family. So, we thought spend a bit of time over here and see how much we like it, if we enjoy it. Obviously great for our kids to be able to spend some time with their grandparents and a good sort of chance to unwind from, a pretty hectic lifestyle as an AFL footballer.
Well, you're a legend of the code and you go back. What's it like walking the streets of Gero these days? I spent my 30th anniversary walking a couple of days on the streets of Geraldton before I went out to the Abrolhos Islands with my old mate Dale Wheatley. How's the signature repetition? Is it you're still as big as ever?
Oh, Geelong aren't a lot of Geelong jumpers getting around, Jared. That's one thing I've noticed. There's a lot of blue and white and a fair bit of purple, but yep. Geelong don't feature too heavily, so I guess a lot of people do know who I am from the Midwest. Obviously, Josh Kennedy, myself, and Patrick Cripps have, got a little bit of notoriety, if you like, from being born and bred here. But, yeah, to be honest, most people in Geraldton are like most country people, pretty laid back. Don't worry too much about where you've done, what you've done in life and how you did it. Just as long as you're a good bloke, you're going to get somewhere.
Kennedy, Cripps and Taylor.
Not a bad,
three-man
squad.
There's
a few others too. A couple of Indigenous players from that particular area. I was talking to a few of the locals. Name escaped me at the present time, but I remember thinking, gee, they're good. That's a good pedigree.
Yeah, Paddy Ryder's probably one.
Yeah, Paddy Ryder.
Indigenous background. He's had a great career. He's from this neck of the woods. Jamie Cripps is another. Obviously going pretty well at West Coast. And Jack Carroll was a young guy that just got drafted to Carlton this year, picked 42, I believe. So, exciting to see how he sort of fares over the next few years.
Harry, footy players often tell us, particularly during the season, there's not much time for reflection. You're not only a Cats great now that you'll be remembered as, but also an AFL Life member. How's that to reflect on?
Yeah, it's something I'm really proud of, Sam. I remember writing down a few goals pretty early on in my career, and I wrote down 150 games because at the time that was life membership of the Geelong Cats. And obviously being young, I wasn't a life member of anything, but I always saw that as a great sign of loyalty, great sign of hard work, and I guess associated those two things together. So I wanted to become a life member of the Geelong Cats, which I was fortunate enough to do a few years ago. And now to be a life member of the AFL is something that I'm very, very proud of.
Reflect on the last couple of years, so close to another flag, Harriet. Was there any sort of lure to go one more year, given you've gone big at the draft?
Probably a little bit. What I wasn't doing was letting the grand final result decide my future. Whether we won or lost, I didn't really want to factor that into the decision. And I said that the year before, and I was trying to really believe in that again this year. So yes, it would have been amazing to win, and would have been fantastic for, reward for all the hard work we'd done. But I wasn't going to let that decide on whether it was a good decision to keep going or not. I just wanted to trust my body, trust my mind, and the people close to me to help guide that decision rather than the result that had just happened.
Lots been made of the new recruits, Cameron, Smith and Higgins, but as we get closer to footy actually being back, I think people are going to talk a lot about how the forward line, and particularly those two of Cameron and Hawkins, are going to play together. Now, you've played a lot as a backman, you've spent time as a forward, Harry. How do you think that's going to work? And how would you, as sort of the captain of a defensive unit, try to stop them?
Yeah, it's exciting. That's one thing, you know, that is great. As a Geelong fan and a Geelong sort of supporter now, it's going to be really exciting to see how it all comes together. Clearly, it comes with some expectation, but knowing the guys down there, they will really embrace that and accept that as part of, you know, being an elite sports team and an elite sports person. So one thing, having played obviously on Hawke for a majority of my career on the ground, on training grounds, and then Jeremy Cameron from a large part of his career, they are very different players. Hawke, for a guy who's so big, has probably got some of the best footwork of any of the players that I play on, whereas Jeremy Cameron's just got a great work ethic in terms of how he can roam around the ground, very courageous, and is a very, you know, very different player to most other forwards that you play on. Maybe, obviously, Buddy Franklin's very different, but he's got that sort of trick bag in some ways, albeit a little bit different, but just a bit unpredictable in what he does, and that makes him difficult to play on.
Jared, do you think Cameron will spend further time or more time further away from goal at Geelong than he did at GWS?
I don't think so. I think they'll just have him as an inside 50 player that can go up the ground like he did. I mean, everybody plays up the ground. Even the Hawk goes up the ground. We'd like to see him go.
Less so.
Stay a bit closer to goal. In fact, wouldn't it be fantastic if Steve Hocking, the mad scientist, actually determined that maybe we need to have a couple of people stay inside
zones.
The forward 50.
Zones.
Get a little bit of zone
action going.
Can't believe you brought...
Hang on. January 18, the Z word is back out.
A little bit of restriction on those blokes so you don't have to all run like midfielders, Big H.
Yeah, or maybe with the rule change, 75 interchange cap, that potentially might see a little bit more of it. I dare say, you know, Hawk isn't probably going to rotate much this year and perhaps Cameron the same. So, maybe he'll just see if guys stay a little bit more deeper to goal. I know Paddy Dangerfield does it for us very well and Dustin Martin, obviously, from Richmond. So there's plenty of guys that can do it. And if they can empty out, who knows? It's going to be exciting to watch either way.
Any thoughts of coaching, Harry?
I'm doing my Level 3 coaching course this year. So that's one thing I'm certainly passionate about. I think to become a really good coach, you probably need to spend a little bit of time away from the game, perhaps at local level or state level, just to get a feel for how things work and probably work with some players that might not necessarily be as motivated as what players are at AFL level. It's a little bit easier when you're getting paid and you've got people who pretty well can sack you if you don't turn up to training at AFL level compared to when you're running around in the GNFL or the Geelong Football League, the Bellarine Football League, when you've got to do a day's work, then turn up. Not quite as easy. So I guess your coaching skills and repertoire becomes a little bit more diverse.
I went to the local yacht club for dinner a couple of weeks ago, and a good mate of mine, as I said...
The Royal Brighton Yacht Club.
It was a Royal Brighton Yacht Club.
Next to the beautiful dog beach down there.
And on the menu was Geraldton crayfish.
Is that right?
And Dale Wheatley rang me, I've told you this story before, 2 Decembers ago to say, stay tuned, we're in for a worldwide recession. China have just knocked all our crayfish on the head. And that's where I first heard about it, over in Geraldton. And it's amazing that all of a sudden we're the winners out of it in some respects, because Geraldton crayfish usually gets flown up to China at about 80 to 100 bucks a kilo. And right now we're enjoying it, Harry. So it must be pretty cheap in Geraldton itself. You'd be having it on your sangers.
Yeah, we give it to the cat and the dog at the moment. It's not quite as delicate as it usually is, which is a bit unfortunate for some of the cray fishermen. But you know, the cray factory or the co-op, as they're called, did a great job over the Christmas period, signing deals with I think it was Coles or Woolworth to get the product out in Australia. And it's fantastic that, you know, more people are to eat it, because generally, like you said, Jared, it's $80 to $100 a kilo, and you know that's hard to justify. So the fact that you can get them for $20 each at your local supermarket's fantastic for people to try them and see what they're like.
You ever been out to the islands? Because you could do a podcast, you could do a 4 or 5 series podcast.
I reckon you asked
on the history
H about the islands last time he was on.
I might have, Harry, did I?
Yeah, oh, mate, that's my second home out there. Yeah. I absolutely love the place. It's,
which is your favourite spot? Unique. Which are the islands?
Oh, I like the Wallaby Group. Yep. So there's four groups. The Wallaby Group's
the
one
rats.
Where the Batavia, yep, the famous ship sunk, and yep. I just love going out there. And yeah, it's a world in itself. There's so much unique, animals, bird life, the whole lot. It's a phenomenal place, and highly recommend getting out there if you ever are over this side of Australia.
My understanding is that the rights to the movie of the Batavia have been bought by a famous Australian Hollywood superstar, and he's setting up a big movie factory to film the whole shooting match.
Yeah, that's right. Russell Crowe, I think, is the man you're alluding to. I'm pretty sure he's bought Peter Fitzsimmons' sort of book, who wrote a great story about the Batavia. And, it'd be a hell of a story. It's Australia's biggest massacre.
Yep.
That probably doesn't get spoken about or talked about all that much. But, obviously a very tragic story, but a very significant story, certainly in the WA or the Midwest area for sure.
It's it took the old saying about eating your own to a new level over there.
Yeah, it did, that's for sure.
Harry, great to have you on board. We may get together and do a podcast on the Batavia and the Abrolhos Islands at some stage, but more importantly, just wanted to recognise your great performance and look forward to chatting you through the year as a retired champion, because
well,
that's what you were.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much for your support over my career, and love to keep having a chat whenever you're free.
The great Harry Taylor there. Remember, watch The Crown, a brand new digital harness racing show. It's on Thursday nights via the SEN app. More Sports Day Best Of right after this. Welcome back to the Friday edition of Sports Day, where we wrap up the best segments of the week. It's for Kia. You can step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV, and for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that is Red Energy. Apologies if my voice is sounding a little cold and fluey. I did have a COVID test during the week. All is well, though. I tested negative. Earlier this week, St Kilda coach Brett Ratten was on the show. Here's what he had to say to Shane McGuinness.
Thank you very much. It's great to it's all coming around quickly again, which is quite exciting.
How much of a break did you actually get, or how much of that so-called break was actually planning, looking ahead to 2021?
It did come around quick. Noosa and we made our way down to the Gold Coast as a family, just drove down, went to the Brownlow. We thought Jack Steele was a chance, which was great to see him finish third, and then headed back up to watch the grand final live to witness the Tigers and Geelong firsthand and have a look at that game. It was great. And then, we did our review on my way home. I was just out of Newcastle on that day, and we did the review, and then we just pushed on and got home with the kids and everyone in the car. So it wasn't a big break, but it was enough. And then Christmas came along, and we just spent it at home, which was great, just to be away from home for 100-odd days. It was just brilliant to just hang around home and, just laze around a bit.
Yeah, I can imagine it brought about a whole new appreciation for your own backyard. Returning to Moorabbin, Brett, a few new faces as well. Take us through the settling in period for the likes of Brad Crouch and Jack Higgins and James Frawley. How have they settled into the group?
Well, all the boys have settled in really well, and they're all doing everything that we've asked of them to do at training. Yeah, we've got McKernan as well, and then you've got Tom Highmore and Matt Allison as well as the draft picks that we had. So some of our trades that we got in free agents was, they've fitted in beautifully, and they're doing all the work that we need them to do, and they're going really well. We've pretty much done most of our game plan meetings now, so there'll be a slight tinker with that. But, they've had a little bit of an input and a view on how they thought we played and some of the things that they liked about us and some of the things that they thought they could expose the Saints with. So it's actually good to get some IP from other clubs and, them to have a bit of a say on what we're trying to do.
What are the conversations like at this time of year, Brett? Are they quite forthright between player and coaching group on the back of last year? Such a successful year in many ways, reaching a semi-final, but then there's obviously work to do, wanting to go to that next step. Do you get the feedback as well as providing it to the players at this time of year?
Yeah, we sort of reflected a fair bit on the season and what we did and the things that were really positive, and we put some numbers up that weren't so positive in certain areas. So that's where we've got to grow as a group. And really, you know, finals aren't just handed to you, and we know that we have to work extremely hard as a group to get back to that position, and hopefully we can go further. But, you know, our ambition as a football club is to play finals, and we want to create that every year, you know, to make sure that we get that sustainable success and get ourselves into finals so we give ourselves an opportunity. And that's going to be really critical for us to, you know, higher expectations. The draw's a bit different than last year. The game will change again, but we have to sort of make sure that we do our part and get ourselves really ready for the combat that is ahead and the challenges that are going to be right in front of us.
You talk about the challenges of the year ahead. Unfortunately, the way the world is at the moment, it's not just going to be on the field challenges, but there's the potential that it's going to be the battle against COVID again and ensuring that we get an AFL season. Your club in particular moved seamlessly into the hub, it seemed. Could you do something similar again, or is it a bridge too far to think that you could have to do that 2 years in a row for a playing group?
Oh, I think most clubs and most people would do whatever they have to keep the game going, and it's important. But I think it's a moving landscape really in that space. The COVID changes and the rules change sort of nearly weekly. So for us, it's just let's wait and see. And if things do change, we have to adapt. And that was something that I thought the group did really well. And there's a lot, a big sign of maturity with our group last year. And, we didn't know what the draw would hold, and then the draw would be thrown out, who we're going to play and things like that. And to go and play in Adelaide 5 days apart and to perform the way that we did. And, I was really proud of our group, how we just, whatever the challenge was thrown out. Yeah, we didn't win all the time. We failed at times, but I think it's the way we embraced it was really pleasing. And I think that'll put us in good stead.
It's been suggested that the AFL may pull back on the pre-season games, that clubs may only get one official practice match as opposed to two to, I guess, limit travelling whilst there are still border closures. Does that suit you fine, or are you a coach that likes as much match simulation as possible ahead of round one?
I think it depends on how many games the AFL allows to have against opposition. If it's a scheduled one and you're allowed to do a sort of a mock one against somebody else, I think that would be, would be good for us. But we'll wait and see exactly what they propose and how we sort of go about it. I think that news will come pretty soon, I think in the next week or so, because, those round one games of the pre-season competition were going to kick off. I think we were around February the 19th. Mm. So I think we'll hear some information pretty soon in that regard.
Rats, just quickly, two individuals I want to ask you about. Firstly is Max King. We're always told forwards can take some time to develop. Gee, he was a joy to watch last year as a commentator. I can only imagine what it's like to watch as a St Kilda supporter. Has he bulked up at all? Is there anything fans can expect differently from Max in 2021?
Like any player in the competition, it was his first full season for a long time, virtually 3 years. And his development and, playing most of the games was, good. Whether he performed at, the elite level or, he got through some games, I think he learned a lot about AFL football, and his pre-season's been very good. He's a big man and a big presence in our forward line, and he's probably put on 4 to 5 kilos, which is great. Something he's worked on. He looks nice and strong. So, he's just going to keep chipping away at his game, but he's got enormous talent, and he knows that the best fullbacks and that will be coming for him. And he's only a young man still and still learning. But I think sometimes, even with his good games, sometimes the ones that he got maybe beaten in, he learnt a lot from it and how to tackle that, moving forward. And we speak about the education you get from maybe playing on a Harris Andrews or a Stephen May, and what would you do next time, and how do you play a player off? So I think he learned a lot about himself and the competition last year.
And just quickly, Mason Wood has been training down there at Moorabbin. Is there room on the list for Mason Wood? Is it something that you're contemplating at the moment?
Yeah, we're talking about it. We've got 3 spots on our list vacant. So there is room there, and he's training really well. So, yeah, we'll go through that with James Gallagher, and we'll have a chat later this week and where it sits. But, you know, he's a fine young man. He's put every step forward in the right direction, done everything right. So, if he continues like that, there's an opportunity there. We have got space, but we'll make a decision as a club on probably around Friday or Monday of in the coming days.
Tell you what, you look at some of the names that have come onto the list, Rats, it looks like an exciting year ahead for St Kilda fans. Of course, get on board, saints.com.au. We've got everything crossed that we'll have 50% crowds back early in the season, and maybe a bit of normality returns to footy. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, and to all our Saints supporters, we really appreciate everything they did last year, and their support and their membership, even though they couldn't come to games. And I think all footy fans out there want to just get back to the footy and watch and see their beloved team play. But to all Saints fans, thanks so much for all their efforts.
Brett Ratton there. Wonder how well the Saints will go this year. I feel like the appetite from the supporters is top four. More Sports Day coming at you right after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We are just about to wrap up the Best of Edition. It's all for Kia. You can step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV, and for an energy born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy. Now, on last night's show, we caught up with Gold Coast coach Stewie Jew ahead of a big 2021 for the Suns. Not sure if we cut this bit out, but the stat that I went with and then recalled, I'm hoping Lawrence doesn't make it, but we'll see. This is what we had to say with Stewie Jew yesterday.
How are you travelling up there at the present time? A lot of expectation, a lot of excitement, but still yet to get the job done.
Yeah, probably summed it up pretty well, Jared, and that's what we're chasing. We want to get the job done and push towards the top eight, no doubt, for the first time in our history. And, like all teams, 18 doesn't go into eight, so everyone's trying to do the same thing. But we certainly feel like we've made some strides last year, albeit in a bit of a different year. But I think the way we handled the couple of shutdowns and the way the players showed good maturity for their age was holding us in good stead. And again, we're ready for, if it's flexible again, we're ready to go.
Oleg Markov is a young bloke, cut his teeth at Richmond. A bit of a Richmond flavour about your club at the present time. A few Tigers starting to permeate through. You've lost a couple to the Tigers, of course, but where do you see him playing a role for you?
Yeah, Oleg, we've probably followed him a little bit and even just remembered his time when I was at Sydney, his draft year, and clearly been in a good system for the last 5 years and tucked in behind some really good players off halfback and Hawley and Short and those type of guys. So, we think he can add real speed, but he's also a mature body. And again, having gone through 5 pre-season, we think he adds to our group and brings a different energy as well. We're looking to add a bit of speed and run off the halfback. And with Pierce Hanley retiring, we felt it was a good fit to give him an opportunity.
So how are you addressing the potential for hub life again? Because it may well be Melbourne hub life. It may well be back to Queensland hub life, where you're just letting it flow through to the keeper and everybody just be agile and all those words we were using last year.
Yeah, that word got used a fair bit. And not so much with us as a footy club, but certainly we're prepared for anything. And I think through the Commonwealth Games, the guys that were here a couple of years ago and then the guys last year, we're very much on their toes and ready to go. I think one benefit of being a younger team is that they are less set in their ways in terms of their preparation for games, and they're open to new scenarios. And I think even our older guys handled that well. And I guess we're not being specific about, look, this might be happening, that. Well, we've literally said, look, let's just play what's in front of us. And at the moment, we've got a 6-round draw and we can concentrate on that. And if it changes, it changes. We'll just jump into it.
So as we look forward to 2021 and 2022 and 2023, you're travelling this path where at some stage in the next, I reckon, 24 months, there's going to be a point in time where people say, well, enough's enough. The Suns have got to deliver. There's no more excuses. Now, it may be this year. I'm not sure where it suits as far as you're concerned, what's going through your brain, but it's coming and it's looming large.
Yeah, and I think we will have higher internal expectations as what external is, because I think everyone's seen the journey we've taken so far as a footy club, and not just in my time, but I think, the number of new faces both on and off the field have spent a couple of years finding out what have we got. But then last year we felt just like a normal footy club in that we're going out, we're not in
turmoil or survival mode and panic mode about who's coming and going. And I think that that reflected in our performance. And, you know, at different times we were in winning positions. We weren't able to close that out. So we'll certainly try and address that this summer. But we want to be just another team. We don't want to be the team that's trying to stop someone going or overpaying players and that type of thing. We want to build the right culture. I think we've made that. But like you say, it's time now to... We've made the jump from 18th to 14th, and a lot of teams have been able to do that. But the hardest part is the next jump from 14th and upwards. So we feel we've got a good platform to have a real dig at that.
We're speaking to Gold Coast Suns coach Stuart Dew on Sports Day with Jared Healy and Sam McClure. Stewie, the AFL and Steve Hocking are doing their best in recent years to get rid of congestion. One of the new rules coming in this year, of course, is that extra man on the mark, no movement rule, which one coach told me a couple of weeks ago he thought could cost a team a couple of games in the season. Is the AFL making your job as a coach winning games harder by trying to ease congestion?
No, because I don't think, well, certainly we're not a footy club that's trying to create congestion, I guess. So, you know, I think with our profile, our lift profile, and I think the speed that we've added in the last 3 years through the trade or draft certainly suits a quicker game. So, you know, we're doing our best to adjust to these rules and try and train the players up and look, okay, well, how can we exploit this from a speed point of view? And I know if we had a bigger body team and a little bit slower, we might be sitting there going, gee, this might hurt us. But we're actually looking on the other side and go, well, how can we use this to our advantage given our list physicality and list profile?
One of the suggestions to Steve Hocking, and I think he was pretty keen on it for a fair period of time, is that, and it revolves around manning the mark again, is that if you're manning the mark, you can't have anybody come from behind the player that gets the free kick to man the mark. So somebody in front of that player has to push up to man the mark, preventing one extra player going back into defence. And yet it hasn't got up. What's your off-the-cuff consideration of that?
Well, I think the way that we see the rule change now is that they'll be a lot stricter on that protected area. And to my knowledge, that appears to be that if you're not coming forward to the mark, yep. And I know there's that split second that if I'm a new Jared and you mark and I sort of just rotate around, I think that there's got to be some leeway. But I certainly think we're getting to the point where there will be a line in the sand that you've got to come forward to the mark. And I think with the new 50-metre one where, you know, the carry-on of... it looks silly when someone's racing the other person, so I think that one's gone. And I think that will is likely the next step, but I think that the players will adjust to that as well. So I think it's very much in our minds. We're certainly training the fact that you need to err on the side of coming forward to the man of the mark as opposed to coming from behind because it's too big a penalty. If you give away a 50, it is now really too big a penalty.
Yes, good to see Lawrence is doing his job and cutting out all my mistakes. And great to hear from Stewie Dew. Interesting asking about with Brett Ratten where the Saints are going to finish. The Gold Coast Suns, Jared, pretty bullish of them. This has to be the year, not necessarily to make the eight, but to really show people that they are on the improve. That does it for myself and Jared for the week. We'll be back on Monday, 6 o'clock. Enjoy the weekend. Stay well, stay safe.